You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
There's quite a lot to unpack this week, of course. Abortion has passed a second parliamentary reading. Are you concerned by the fact that there was a tighter margin this time?
The margin was still pretty good. We had over 80 votes. It was quite a big difference from the last vote. But then I expected there would be people who voted for in the first reading, but who wouldn't necessarily continue to support it. They've all kind of made their positions clear. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next stage, which is the committee stage, where MPs get to propose various amendments. We'll see what comes out of that. But at the moment, the numbers are holding up for a good margin to pass, and we'll just keep our fingers crossed on that.
Mm. And the committee stage will determine whether or not we are going to have a referendum if legislation passes. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a New Zealand First Amendment put up saying that it should only come into law following a referendum. And there are various other amendments being put up too, some that kind of take the test for an abortion after 20 weeks back, I think probably harsher than what is currently the law, things like that. So, but that tends to happen. This is a highly emotive topic. People get very sensitive about it. And look, there are people who are in Parliament who are simply opposed to abortions full stop, and they're trying to do everything they can to make the law unworkable. So there's that sort of tactic being played out as well. So I think, next week is going to be pretty full on. It won't necessarily be pleasant, and there will be all sorts of attempts to kind of constrain the legislation.
Yeah. Aside from there being a wider parliamentary, presence of people being opposed to it because it's an emotive topic, are you concerned at all as we come closer to the referendum about reconciling the differences that you do have with New Zealand First as a coalition government?
Yeah, I think they just have a policy that on whatever they regard as important issues of public policy should be subject to a referendum. Mm. We'll see what the numbers look like. At the moment, if the numbers are 80 in favour of the bill at the moment, even if we lost all of those New Zealand First MPs, they still wouldn't have the numbers to get a referendum up. Right. And I know that there are people who are opposed to the bill, but the last thing they want is a referendum. There are plenty of the more conservative members from either side of the House who are saying they want tighter restrictions, or they don't like abortion at all, are equally saying this is a decision that Parliament should make. It shouldn't, it's not one that needs to go to a referendum. And the difference there is that we already have abortions in New Zealand. We have an abortion law. We have over 13,000 abortions a year. This is not something that we don't have a legal framework for. What we're talking about is adjusting that legal framework to fit what, in my view, is a more 21st century set of values.
Mm-hmm. So on the topic of referendums, you've just passed an amendment on making voting easier. Do you want to unpack what that looks like a little bit for us?
Yeah, the law is at the moment, or at least until we pass the law, that during the advance voting period, the two-week period before election day itself, you can turn up to a voting booth, not be enrolled, and you can enroll and cast a special vote, and your vote will be counted. But if you do that on election day, you don't have the ability to do that. You cannot enroll on election day. And what happened in 2017 is roughly 19,000 people turned up to vote, or to enroll and vote, and they couldn't, and therefore they didn't get to have their vote counted. And then a whole lot more people turned up on election day, but because their details, their address details were wrong, their vote wasn't counted. And it just seems to me it's wrong that we should have one law for the two-week period before the designated election day and a different set of rules for election day itself. The Electoral Commission looked at it. They said this is an anomaly. It should be fixed. We passed a law to fix it. What the law also, the law change we passed this week also allows is for voting booths on election day to be in places like supermarkets that sell alcohol, not places where you consume alcohol, but where you can buy it, because up to now the law has been you cannot have a polling booth in a place where you sell alcohol, at least on election day. So we've changed with that. The main thing, the main idea is to get polling booths to places where people gather on election day, and supermarkets and malls is one of them.
It's quite timely with a big election year, given how many referendums we are going to have. My first reaction is that, given that there are these extra referendums, this election could be argued as more important. Are you glad that this amendment has happened in time for that?
Yeah, look, I think it had to come anyway. I mean, the Electoral Commission said they didn't think it was possible to to implement everything that was needed before 2023. We took a different route. We thought it was, look, 19,000 people turning up to vote and then not being able to get a vote is just wrong. Mm. And we said to them, look, are you sure it has to be 2023? Can you do it by 2020? They said, yep, look, if we get the law passed in enough time and we get the funding and all the rest of it, we've got all that. They've got on with it and they'll be able to implement it. And I think you're right, because you've got two important referendums. You've got the one on end-of-life choice and the other one on cannabis. You know, these are important issues that, you know, people are doing a lot of thinking about. It's the chance for the electorate to have a say on them. The fact that, you know, you can turn up and both enrol and vote at the same time, I think, is important.
Yeah. Moving to the Protected Disclosures Act to strengthen protections for whistleblowers who speak about serious wrongdoing in the workplace, why was strengthening that necessary? Where were legal holes that we had previously?
I think because what the Protected Disclosures Act sort of started with was that if you see something that you think is a corrupt practice or something that concerns you, you've got to go to one of your own managers or you know somebody internally in the organisation, and actually that's pretty hard for people to do that, because you think, well, hold on, where does this, you know, who do I know I'm talking to, and are they involved, are they connected with it? And it actually just makes sense, even if only as a safety valve for everybody concerned, that if you see something that concerns you, there's a safe place for you to disclose to. You do in good faith, and that can be followed up. And you know, if you've got it wrong, you've just misperceived something, then, you know, nobody loses face as a result. And I think that's a better approach to take, and that's why when Chris Hipkins announced the changes to it, that's the direction that he's going in.
Mm, excellent. So we'll finish on touching on, you were in Berlin recently for the Nuclear Disarmament Conference. What was representing New Zealand there like in 2020?
Yeah, that was good. Look, this is a group of countries that came together last year in Stockholm. I represented New Zealand there at that meeting. And look, we've got the 50th anniversary of the Non-Nuclear Proliferation Treaty. We're probably one of the most important treaties agreed to over the late 1960s, finally signed off in 1970, to minimise the presence of nuclear weapons around the world. And look, it has had a beneficial effect. The fact that it's still around after 50 years, I think, tells you that it's, you know, it's an enduring agreement. But it has, you know, there's some issues that have emerged in the last few years that are putting real pressure on it and the values that it represents. So this is a group of countries that have come together and said, we really want to see progress made in following through on the values that this agreement represents. There's a major review in New York of that treaty next month, and we wanted to prepare, you know, get this group of countries, and we'll pull in others as well, as we put pressure on the big nuclear armed states to say, we need you to act responsibly, and for those who aspire to owning nuclear arms, you know, we want you to think twice about that, because this is just not something the world needs right now.
We do have a regular caller who often raises with me his concerns about the presence of nuclear use worldwide. I'm sure he'd want to know what level of pressure you'll be prepared to put on those other countries.
Through the, what they call the review conference in New York, and it's a 3 or 4 week sort of process, I think the important thing is that it's not just left to officials within the countries to argue with each other. Actually, it needs, you know, senior politicians, elected representatives to be there, and to use all the devices within the United Nations, such as the Security Council, to get the issue up. The co-convener of the meeting last week in Berlin was Germany. Germany is on the Security Council. They are undertaken to take up the issues and the concerns that the 16 countries have with the Non-Nuclear Proliferation Treaty at the Security Council, and argue there. So it's using the context we've got, the countries we've got, and the seniority of politicians that are there to put pressure on countries around the world to make a difference there. And, like, you know, we know that the United States are taking a different view on this. They pulled out of the agreement covering Iran, the JCPOA.
Yeah.
That's a concern. We've got, you know, the North Korea testing nuclear weapons. But if we're going to constrain those sorts of things, actually, it's countries like ours and the 15 others that we met with that have a job to do to put this on the world agenda and start talking about it again, as if actually what is happening with nuclear weapons means something and is important and something we've got to slow down and stop.
Mm.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.